Morning, my name is Charles Morgan. Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you for tuning in, however you're tuning in, radio, internet, podcast. We do Facebook, we do YouTube, we have a podcast, all the same sermons, and we're on a radio station in Thayer, Missouri. This morning I'm going to be in chapter 10 of John, John chapter 10. I'm going to read down through verse 11. But I'm going to refer to some of the rest of it because it is really some good stuff and don't want to miss it all. This Jesus speaking, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth forth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Again, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." All right, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his close-knit group, and he's telling them a parable. A parable's a story that gives a relation to some greater concept. And so he tells them of this about the sheep, and they don't know what he's talking about. He tells them about the sheepfold, the porter, the shepherd coming forth and calling his sheep by name, and they follow him out. And it said in verse 6 that they didn't know what he was talking about. So he had to kind of explain it. So he's telling them he is the door. Now, Revelation talks about the open door, chapter 3 and verse 8. In, chapter 3 verse 20, it says, "Stand at the door." He stands at the door. So Jesus talks about this, him being the door. He is the door into heaven. He is the door into, where we want to be. And there is no other. John 14:6, he says this. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is that avenue, that conduit, whatever you want to call it. There's only one way. That way is Jesus the Christ. There is no other way. He is very specific about that. He wants everyone to know that. He didn't come and say, "Hey, I'm one way," or, you know, "If you want this way or that way, you can just do however you want." That is today's doctrine in many churches, and it's incredible. People that will call themselves Christians will say, "Yeah, well, there's another way into heaven." And, well, I'm not going to say that there's only one way to heaven. Well, Jesus said that. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot call yourself a follower of Christ without saying that there is only one way, and he is that way. He is that way. Now, I want to get on something here today. He's talking about his voice, and he says that they know his voice. They hear his voice, and he calls them by name, and he leads them out. And then in verse 5, it says, "A stranger comes, and they won't heed his voice." Those that are followers of him, his true sheep, won't be taken away by these other things. They, in other words, they won't listen to some televangelist that tells them the wrong thing and follow him. They won't read a book and all of a sudden go, "Oh, well, I've been enlightened by this book, by somebody that wrote a book that's not scripture, and I'm going to follow that." I'm going to tell you, I see so many people that are doing that, especially young preachers that are being taken away by a book that they read. And it's not the good book. It's not the Bible that they're reading. And it's some other book by some author that comes up with some opinion and says, "Well, this is really the way it is." And they'll say, "Oh, well, I never knew that, you know, and I'm going that way." They didn't find it in the Bible. They found it in some off-brand book of somebody that wrote it, you know. A guy wrote a book and said that there was no hell. Well, everybody liked that. They said, "Well, that's great. You know, I didn't want there to be anyway." Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't really want there to be a hell, but I know that there is. That's just truth just because I don't want it to be that way. And I tell you, I don't want anybody to go to hell. That's the reason I want everyone to accept Jesus and go to heaven, but I know that they won't. So he says, they know his voice. His voice, when he speaks, when we read, we get his voice, we know what he is saying. Here is his specific words that he spoke while he was on this earth and had his earthly ministry. But we hear his word, we read it, we see it, we know what he's saying to us, and we should take that. Jesus Christ does speak. He still speaks today. He speaks through people when they preach, but you better pay attention to the word. You better know that they're the ones that are preaching what Jesus said. And he speaks to us when we study. The Bible tells us that we're to study. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, not unto men, not anybody else, not so everybody goes, wow, they really know the scripture. You know, so many people are taken by people that have memorized scripture. Oh, that's great. That's not really all there is to it. It is a great thing if they can memorize scripture as long as they're using it properly. Satan knows his scripture. He uses it improperly. He twists it and turns it. And he's got many that do it for him, and many stand behind pulpits and are on television and on radio and everything else. Even my words, you should judge these words. You say, oh, I shouldn't judge. Yes, you should. You should get your Bible down. You should follow along and see if I'm preaching the gospel. You ought to see if I'm preaching what God is saying. Don't ever just take it and just say, oh, well, that's great. No, study yourself. Know what it says. And then, you know, I may bring out something that you go, wow, I'm going to go and read that. And you study and go, I hadn't seen that before. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He said, a stranger, they will not follow. His true sheep will not follow someone else. They will not be taken aside or taken aback by anybody else and guided into something else. They're his true sheep. He's trying to tell these guys, I am the shepherd. If you're following me, you won't be taken away from these other things. And when they didn't understand it, he goes this. The other thing is, to hear his voice, we have to be listening. And I'm telling you, we've got so many things that clog our minds, so many things that that attack our ears in today's world. We've got the internet, we've got television, we've got all kinds of things that attack our ears to keep us from hearing Jesus. And we've got to be discerning. And a lot of times we've got to put that aside. We've got to get rid of that and just have our time where we're not doing anything. We just put it all aside and talk to Jesus and allow him to speak to us. Let that word, when you start praying, that word will come to you. This Bible will come to you and it will give you the answers that you need. Oh yeah, that's what that is, you know, and it will come back to us. And so we've got to be listening. We've got to be open. We got to be ready for the word. We got to be attentive to him. Have you ever had a conversation with someone? And as you're talking to them, you realize they're not really listening to you. Maybe they're diverting off their eyes or something, or you really realize, or maybe they're just waiting for their chance to talk. They're not truly in a conversation with you. They're just there. Well, sometimes I think, and I know that I've done it. I, you know, had my time that I really wasn't focused on Christ. I was focused on something else, something that had happened or something was going to happen or something I needed to do or something I had been doing or something I was going to accomplish, you know, something like that. Instead of focusing on Christ, I was like that conversation where I really wasn't in it. We've got to be attentive. We've got to be open, ready for him at any moment to just speak to us. So how do we do that? We get rid of the other stuff. Turn the phone off. Leave it inside. Go for a walk out in the woods without your phone. Go for a walk around the neighborhood, or go to, the Bible talks about going into your closet to, you know, most closets you probably can't get into, but what it was talking about is finding that quiet place. That place where you can commune with God, that you're not having anybody else talk to you. And you need that as well. You don't need someone else talking to you, drawing you away from that. We need to be attentive to his voice. If we're going to hear it, if we're going to know it, we've got to be this way. If we're going to know it, we got to study his word. He says, they know my voice. Well, how do they know his voice? Because they've heard it before. You know, that's the way we do. You know, if you have never heard someone's voice before, and they speak to you, you're not going to recognize them. You're not going to recognize them. I've listened to men on the radio preaching, and I don't get to hear a lot of preaching, so I'd listen to the radio, and I hear these preachers, and I can hear their voice. And sometimes, even if I'm driving along and I've got the volume down, I can hear that voice and go, hey, I think that's this person, and turn it up and listen to them. So I've heard their voices before and enough that I can hear them. Now, sometimes I've seen their faces later on. That didn't match up, but I know their voice because I recognize it. If I hear a television on, even though I'm usually listening to them radio and I hear it, I say, that's who that is. Even if I look at the person and go, that's not what I thought they looked like. That's the voice. That is their voice. That's how we know Jesus. We know his voice because we've heard it before. And we've heard it enough that we can recognize it. You know, I've met people that I went to school with, and I've been out a little over 40 years now, and I would see them, and they would not recognize me when they saw me, but once I spoke, the voice is still the same. Oh, and they immediately, you could tell the recognition was there because they knew that voice even from all those years ago. Even though my face has changed, I've gotten older, when they heard the voice, they matched it up. Said, that's who you are. That's the way we are with Jesus. And I'm telling you, even if you've gotten away from him, get back to him. Start listening. Start listening and hear that voice and get back with him. We got to know it. We've got to be attentive to it. We've got to get in with it and know this is Jesus that's speaking to us. And then we've got to recognize when we hear a bad voice. He said, they will not follow a stranger. They will not follow, but they will flee from him. Folks, we got to flee from that. It's okay to flee from evil. The Bible tells us to flee from evil. If you find yourself in a situation you're not supposed to be in, I don't care how old you are, young person, older person, elderly saint, get away from it. Don't just go, oh, well, I'll be okay because I belong to Jesus. No, get away from it. If you find, I don't care if it evolved or it just happened and quickly, just get away from it. Flee from it. Say, nope, I'm not doing that. You know, if you're there and your eyes are diverted to something you shouldn't be looking at, flee from it. Look the other way. Don't even do that. Just get away from it. We will flee from that one that we don't know his voice. Now he talks about this, and like I said, I'm going to skip over here a little bit. In verse 10, he talks about the thief. The thief. He's talking about the evil one, Satan. And look, Satan can't be everywhere. We give him way too much credit. You know, Satan doesn't want me doing this tonight. Look, he's not God. He can't be everywhere. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. He does only what he's given permission to do. So I want you to understand that. But he's got a lot of help. He's got those angels that went with him, and he's got a lot of help. And not only that, he's got people that help him as well. Not all people that do evil are possessed by evil spirits. They just do evil. And so he talks about this. And like in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So he's talking about the same thing. Jesus is speaking here, and then later on he spoke through Peter, and he talks about this. And both of them are talking about, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. See, this is what he's talking about here. Your adversary as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Then he says, but resist him steadfast in the faith. In the faith. How? Because we're listening to Jesus. Don't be listening to him. Don't allow him to devour you. Don't allow him to speak to you. Don't allow him to tell you. Don't you remember who you are or what you've done? Don't allow him to speak to you in that way. Say, no, that's not the voice of Jesus. Resist that voice. Know Jesus' voice. And when this voice starts in, say, no, you're the adversary. You're the enemy. Your adversary, the devil. He said, resist in the faith. But no. This is afflicting all. We all deal with this. That old voice, it's not not Jesus, the one that's not the truth, that's not telling us what we really need to hear. You know, in this, he told Peter, feed the sheep. Feed my sheep. He gave men responsibility over his sheep. He said, take care of them. Feed them. Give them the word of God. That's what I'm doing today. I'm giving you the word of God. We're in verse 14 of chapter 10 of John. He said, again, I am the good shepherd. He said this in verse 11. And know my sheep, am known of mine. And if we know him, we're going to tell other people about him. Listen, I want to tell you something about Jesus. That's what we should be doing. I want to tell you about this voice that you really need to be listening to instead of that voice of that evil one that tells you, oh, you're okay, don't worry about this, you just go on about your business. Or, hey, don't worry, you got plenty of time. You can accept Christ later. Yeah, maybe it's important, but don't worry about it right now. You're young, or you've got this health, and you're doing good. Don't worry about all this. That's the wrong voice to be listening to. Hebrews tells us in Book of Hebrews, harden not your heart today. Accept Christ today. Don't put it off. I'm telling you right now, if you don't know the voice of Jesus, he's calling you. He is the door. You know, Revelation, when it says he standeth at the door and knock, and he's talking about churches, but I'm telling you right now, it says that he's calling. He's calling you. It says that he died for the world. That's what the Bible says. That he died for the world. Everyone. Not just those that could be good. Not just those that were born into the right home. Everyone. You can accept Jesus Christ today. You can accept that free gift of salvation because he is calling you. He's wanting you. He's wanting you to be part of his fold. He's wanting you to know his voice. He's wanting you to be able to cast your cares on him. That's what verse 7 over there in 1 Peter says, you know, casting your cares on him. That's what he wants. He wants to be your friend. He is your Savior. He is your Redeemer. He is your Lord, but he wants to be your friend. He told his disciples, I am your friend. He's the greatest friend that you will ever have. He will be a friend that will never let you down. He'll be a friend that even if you stray and you let him down, he still loves you. And he won't throw all these things on you. Say, well, you can only come back, you know, if you make it up to me. That's not what he does. When he was talking to Peter and he told him, feed my sheep, Peter had denied him. He denied him. And in fact, he had gone back to his old job of fishing. He had gone away from him. He'd said, okay, I'm done with this. I followed him for 3 years, but I'm going back to my old way of life. And Jesus was saying, no, I got something for you to do. Even though he had denied him, even though he had turned from him. See, that's Jesus. That's the love he has for us. Because he is the good shepherd. As pastors, we are shepherds, but we're under the good shepherd. We're waiting for the good shepherd to come back to take control of all the sheep. And we're just going to be part of the flock. That's going to be wonderful. But he's given us this task in the meantime to preach the word, to tell people about it. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Jesus is talking about his crucifixion. He's talking about what he's going to do for his sheep. He's talking about he's going to die for us. And he says, no man takes it from me. I lay it down. See, he gave the sacrifice of himself. He is the great high priest. He was the only one that could do it. There was no one that was worthy to make the sacrifice for him. All of those sacrifices were pictures of Jesus Christ. He said, they're not taking it from me. He said, I'm laying it down. He said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the one. I'm the only one. He said, I have the power to lay it down and take it up again. It's because I'm a father. Rule on. My father. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He's a God. He is the only God. He's a great and mighty God. He's the door into heaven. But you can only go through that if you accept what he did on the cross. That he died for your sin, that he paid your sin debt. First of all, you've got to accept that you're a sinner. The Bible tells us all of sin and come short of the glory of God. It tells us that all our righteousness is filthy rags. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's so many references to sheep in the Bible about us, and it's not a compliment. Sheep are not protective of themselves. They don't take themselves to new food. They have to be taken care of. The 23rd Psalm talks about this, you know, that how sheep have to be led to water. They have to be led to feed. They have to be protected because they will not protect themselves. In fact, they'll go toward danger instead of fleeing from it. Jesus loves us. See, the shepherd loves his sheep. He takes care of them even though they won't take care of themselves. He does that for them. And that's what he does for us. And that's what he always will. But we've got to listen. We've got to listen for that voice. Have you heard that voice before? Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've heard it and it says, won't you accept me? I want to be your shepherd. Won't you allow me to be your shepherd? But you said, no, I don't want to do that. Maybe you sat through a church service and the preacher gave the invitation, which, by the way, I believe we should all the time give invitation, and said, hey, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, come on down. And you felt that, you heard that, you knew that you needed to. Or maybe someone was talking to you about it and you said, no, I don't want to do that right now. Maybe later. You've heard that voice. You weren't sure. You can be sure today. You can be sure that he is your shepherd, that he will guide you. He will show you what you need to do, that you will know his voice and not listen to those other voices. Maybe that other voice came and said, oh, don't listen to that. That's wrong. You know, we see these little depictions in movies and stuff of a little angel, a little devil on each shoulder, you know. You know, that's not really true. That's not what's happening, but there is a competition. Satan's trying to get all that he can to not accept Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying, I died. Won't you come in? I won't force you to. I'm not going to try to trick you. Satan will try to trick you. See, he's a thief. He steals, kills, he destroys. He's like a lion, a roaring lion, trying to devour everybody. See, that's what he's about. Jesus is just saying, hey, I'll offer you life. But I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to trick you. I'll just say, here it is. You can accept it. But if you reject it, I'll never know you. Don't reject him today. Or maybe you did accept that free gift and you know what? You tried to do it on your own. You didn't get in there. You didn't listen to his voice all the time. Listen to his voice today. What's he telling you to do? He's telling you, come back. Come on back in. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He's waiting for that door to be opened. You've got to hear him. You've got to hear him. You've got to be ready to listen. You got to put some of that stuff aside. You got to say, nope, I'm not going to listen to that today. I'm going to put down all the devices. I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm going to turn off the radio, you know, and I'm going to pay attention to only him. I'm going to allow him to speak to me and I'm going to listen to him and I'm going to know what he says. It's not just hearing the words. You know, we can hear words. People can talk to us sometimes and they're talking and then, you know, they ask us a question. We realize, we heard them speaking. We weren't listening. You have to listen attentively. Pay attention. Say, Lord, speak to me. I want to soak up every single word that you've got to say. Every single word in this Bible is precious. It's meaningful. Every single word. I am the door in verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And she'll go in and out and find pasture. He's saying, if you come in by me, you can enter in. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. See, that's exactly what he was telling Nicodemus, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, it's me. He's telling him, he said, that's the only way, Nicodemus. He said, you got to be born again. He's like, what? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. He had to explain it to him. You can be born again. You can have a new life. You can be a new creature. This is old things are passed away. All that stuff is going to be gone. He'll take it away from you. Give you a new start. Give you a new lease on life, if you want to call it that. I mean, I don't really want to call it that, but if that, you know, if that means something, if it can get my point across to you, then that's what it is. It's not really a new lease on life. It's a new life. It's renewal. We need that. We have to have it. Without him, we cannot go into heaven. I want you to accept him today. Give your heart over to him. Bring it and say, Lord, I want that. I want you to be my door. I want to open it up and I want to go in and out. I want to have pasture. I want to be taken care of. I can't do it on my own. I give it up. I give it over to you. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me. See, he loves us. He loves us. You know, he talks about over in verse 29, says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I am God. When they are in my hand, they're there. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know them. You need to have Jesus know them. You need to have Jesus to know you today. So it's not like in chapter 7 of Matthew, where he says, I never knew you. He needs to know you. Your name has to be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not about being on a church roll. It's not about having your name written in somewhere else or having a membership or anything like that, you know. And I'm not going to get in an argument about whether that's important or not. I'm telling you, the important thing is that your name is written down in Jesus' book so that when he says, I know you, you can go into heaven. Your name's here because you accepted me as the good shepherd. You allowed me to be shepherd of your life. You allowed me to talk to you, and you listened to me, and you hear my voice, and you know it, and you put out the other stuff because you belong to me. You see, talk about these other shepherds. They would come and they would come to these sheepfold, but if they called out, only their sheep would come. He says, I am the good shepherd. When I call out, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. And they listen. And they follow me. It's not enough to get saved. You must follow Jesus. And I promise you, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you follow him, things will be right. Not according to our way of thinking, but his way. We'll have that peace that goes beyond understanding. We will be able to follow after him. We'll be able to go through those things. We'll be able to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. We'll be able to know when that evil voice speaks to us and say, nope, 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 not going to listen to that because that's not it. We'll be his. Won't you be his today? Won't you accept him today? See, how do I do that? Well, first thing, you got to acknowledge that you're a sinner because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. You've got to know that the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You've got to know that you've got to call upon the Lord. The Bible says if you'll confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what you got to do. Confess the Lord Jesus. Make him Lord of your life. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He said, thou shalt be saved. And you've got to also know that he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's you. You're whosoever. That's what you need to do today. And if you accepted that free gift, drop us a line. Tell us where you are. I'll try to help you find a good Bible-believing church. If you've turned away from God, you know his voice, but you've been trying to follow your own way, or you followed the evil one's voice for a while, you've been taken away, turn back to him. Say, Lord, I want to get back. I want to be part of you again. You were always his sheep, but you were straying out there. Go back to the fold. Go back to him. Accept it and say, Lord, I hear your voice. My name is Charles Morgan. It's Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today.